Today's scripture reading comes from Luke 5, 1-15. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing in the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but, "Go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them." But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
I want to welcome Chris Teal and wife Ju Ping with us this morning. Chris Teal is a missions coach from Operation Mobilization. Chris and Ju Ping are from Malaysia, and they have served on the duos as a family in 2001 to 2002. And after that, they served in various mission agencies based in East Asia for 14 years. So Chris spent most of his ministries in the mission field. And in 2019, Chris rejoined the Operation Mobilization and now serves as a missions coach based in British Columbia. Missions coach is to help people to find short-term mission trips. I guess Chris can explain that more. That's what I learned from him. They're mostly helping young people. So, which is more, all of you are young people, to find a mission, a short-term missions or a long-term mission. Opportunities. So without delay, I hand the time over to Chris.
Very good morning, and I bring you greetings from Operation Mobilization. Thank you, pastors, for giving me this invitation this morning to share with you from God's Word. And I thought I'd like to break up this time that I have into three parts. I'd like to show you a short video about the work of Operation Mobilization, specifically on the ship ministry. And then secondly, I'll share a little story about my missions journey for the last 24 years. And then finally, we look at the Word of God. So if someone can please play the video, please. OM is very big. It's been more than 60 years. And one of the unique ministries of Operation Mobilization is we've got a ship ministry that sails around to different countries carrying Christian books and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ.
OM Ships International is a non-denominational Christian organization dedicated to bringing knowledge, help, and hope to the people of the world. Since 1970, our vessels have welcomed more than 45 million visitors up the gangways in over 150 different countries and territories. For many, a visit to one of our ships is the first time they've ever had access to good quality literature at a price that they can afford. And this attraction often brings thousands of visitors to the ship each day. Our current ship, Logos Hope, features the world's largest floating book fair. And with over 5,000 titles of Christian, educational, and children's books, there's something for the whole family. Many people without access to education have learned vital skills and have been able to enhance their lives through a purchase from the onboard book fair. While in port, the crew also come alongside the people of the country in practical ways, providing water purifiers, eyeglasses, library projects, and more in an effort to share the love of God in a tangible way. God has used books from the OM Ships ministry and the practical service of Logos Hope's crew to impact countless lives for His glory.
Yes, if you want to sail to different countries, see what God is doing, you want to learn servanthood, you want to share the gospel, you want to learn about missions, come talk to me afterwards and I can explain a little bit more about what the ship is doing. Currently, we have two vessels. We just had a second vessel 2 years ago. So the larger vessel takes about 400 people and it's right now in the Caribbean area, going to the different islands. And then the other ship right now is in Taiwan and will be in probably Korea and Japan. It was recently in Thailand and Malaysia. I'd like to invite you to take a walk with me in my faith journey in the last 24 years. This is me and my family. We've got two daughters. And some 24 years ago, this was my home church in Malaysia, where we were sent out to cross-cultural missions. And a family in missions, is that a mission impossible? Well, this was a small vessel that we served in 2001 and 2002. And the privilege to serve together with 350 people from about 45 different nationalities, carrying Christian books, Bibles, and literature, and going to different countries to share the gospel. During our time, 20 over years ago, we spent about 1 year in Southeast Asia, and then we spent 1 year in Africa. And that was a really eye-opening experience for us. And one of the things that I learned on the ship is that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Just to see young people having passion for God, wanting to share gospel, wanting to serve together, that was something incredible that I learned on the ship. And after our 2 years on the ship, the Lord challenged us to go to China. And He started by, inspiring my wife by reading more about Hudson Taylor and China. And when she told me about it, I said, no, I don't speak Putonghua, 不会说华语. So, but finally, through a series of events, we finally went in the year 2005. And after a few months of Chinese learning, I was asked to be the facilitator for what we call the Daniel Training, where new missionaries who come to China, they have to learn the language, they have to learn the culture. And so this was some people during my time who were preparing to serve mainland China. And so after they finished their language learning, then this is a family that we sent out. They wanted to work among a minority people in the Yunnan province. And this is a Dutch family that opened a coffee shop subsequently. Until today, they are still in Sichuan Bana. And this is an American physiotherapist who wanted to work among the Tibetan people in China. I was involved with MSI Professional Services. This was an international NGO that Dr. Hudson Taylor III started with some people. And the focus was to get Christian professionals to go into China, whether as a doctor, as a teacher, as a pathologist, whatever, using your skills to enter the country, to have a visa platform, and then to use your skills to serve the people. And one of the things that I learned in China over the 13, 14 years was the importance of incarnational ministry. That when you want to reach the people, you need to understand their worldview, you need to understand their thinking, and then just to be able to reach Christ. Saint Francis of Assisi used to say, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. And in a restricted country like China, it's difficult to share the gospel openly, but our life will speak a lot. During this time, my wife was privileged to use business skills to open a little Malaysian cafe in Kunming, where we lived. So giving life skills training to a handicapped girl and then to a foster child. And this is the foster child, so she learns how to bake. This is the handicapped girl, very good with her hands, and she learned how to make cookies, make cakes, and then give her a life skill. And the cafe that we ran was opposite a kindergarten, and that was our platform to reach the parents and the children from the kindergarten. And during Christmas, we would have Christmas activities and invite them to tell them the story of Jesus. I had the opportunity to do discipleship with some young people and then doing Bible studies with them. So this is Jacob. He would teach me Chinese and I would teach him English. He's a son of an elder in a church. And then just doing Bible studies with some of the young people. So when we finished our time in China about 5 years ago, we asked the Lord, what's next? And by that time, my two daughters had grown up, got married, and unfortunately, they couldn't get to Singapore or Malaysia to continue their college, so we had to send them here in Canada. And so we said, Lord, we want to be near our children if possible, and that's where God opened the door for us to join OM. And here I serve as a missions coach, as Pastor said. And one of the main goals of vision of OM is we want to see vibrant communities of Jesus followers to the least reach. Did you know that there is still about 3 billion people who have yet to hear the gospel? And that's our commission, to go and reach them for Christ. And so when I came to Canada in the past, I was doing more on the receiving side, receiving new missionaries, helping them in their adjustment and language culture learning. And now I'm more on the sending side, where people who might want to say, I want to serve missions, short-term, long-term, then I help them in the processing and journeying with them as they go to the field and providing some member care. And I'm excited to share next week, we have orientation for about 8 to 10 people who are planning to join OM. So we can't do this alone. And, you know, as a church, we want to be involved in God's mission, to be involved in sending people out, to be involved in praying for people, sometimes going, giving financially, and also to encourage people to be more involved in the work of the Great Commission. I'll just tell you a quick story. While here, I also get involved with immigrant work. Yeah, a lot of them from Middle Eastern countries. So I go to Coquitlam Alliance Church, and I find a platform to do ministry among the immigrants. So this man, his name is Wahid. I made friends with him. He comes from Afghanistan. So when the Taliban came in, he found opportunity to get out here alone. I would walk with him once a week, and then he would share his stories. We share life together. And interestingly, after 1 year, he managed to get his permanent residence, and then he brought his 5 kids to Canada. And he has now moved to Toronto, where he found that it was cheaper to live. This man, his name is Muhammad, and he's a professor in criminology. And again, due to Taliban thingy, he made his way to South America, went through US, and then landed up in Vancouver. And I had coffee with him, and then said, would you like to know more about the Bible? And he said, yes. And I spent a couple of months doing Discovery Bible Study with him, very open to the gospel. But it's hard to continue their work because after a couple of months, he says, I'm moving to Alberta. And then one day when I text him, oh, I have now moved to Ontario. So they are very mobile, trying to find stability, trying to find a job and all that kind of thing. So not easy to reach the migrant work. So this is a food pantry that Juping and I, we go to every week. The church runs a pantry to serve migrant people, refugees, and people in need. And this is an Iranian student that came to volunteer. And I had the opportunity to share the gospel with her. And then she accepted Christ. But after that, you know, they disappear. So that's one of the challenges I find. How do you do discipleship and follow up even after you share the gospel with them? So after 20 over years, mission impossible for family. Well, by God's grace, he sustained us. And we want to keep on keeping on. And we want, maybe can share a few prayer points out for God to send more workers into the harvest field. The need out there is great. And we want to pray for more ministry partners to support us in our work and ministry. And especially also how we can reach the Middle Eastern people. Especially here in Canada. Maybe one more quick story. I befriended this Iranian man who is a doctor in Iran. He left everything there because he wanted to get PR-ship here, but he's struggling after being here a year. He cannot practice as a doctor. He finds it so stressful. And yeah, how do you help them, you know, practically? And I know the church here, Pastor shared with me that the church has been involved with international students ministry, and that's something that perhaps you can consider. There are so many migrants here in Canada. How can we as a church reach out to these people when they are here? Right, that's the quick story of myself. Before we look into God's word, let's just pause for a minute to pray. God of missions, we thank you that you are seeking and looking for the lost. And we thank you that you found us and you brought us into your kingdom. And Lord, we know that it is not just to become your children and to have a passport to go to heaven, but you want us to share your love and your gospel to the people who have yet to hear the gospel. So we ask, Lord, that even this morning as we consider how you called Peter to your ministry, may you also open our hearts and minds how we can be involved in your kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen. Master, because you say so, I will let down the nets. If you were to start a new project, and your project is to bring change to the world, what kind of people would you select to be your team members? Well, this morning we're going to think about Jesus and how when he began his earthly ministry, he was going to call a team of 12 disciples to help him proclaim the kingdom of God. And we're going to look at the story of Peter. Thank you, sister, for reading the word just now. We're going to think about how Jesus called this fisherman by the name of Simon Peter and invite him to become a fisher of men, to change his profession from a fisherman to a fisher of men. And as the story goes, as we read, if I can recap the story, one day Jesus was by the Sea of Galilee. And he was teaching the people and crowds were gathering around him. And then he saw two boats by the water. And he chose Simon's boat and he went into the boat and asked Simon to push him out a little from the water. And then he began to teach the people. And after he finished teaching, then he asked Simon, put down your nets for a catch. And Simon said, Lord, I've worked hard all night long, but I caught nothing. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And what was the result? He caught two boatfuls of fish that the nets began to break. And then Peter went before Jesus and said, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And Jesus responded by saying, do not fear. Come and follow me. We're going to think about 3 points this morning. We're going to look at the fisherman. We're going to look at the boat. And we're going to think about the net. So the fisherman, I'm sure all of us are familiar with this man called Simon Peter. And how from young, he probably learned about fishing, how he became a fisherman, and how, yeah, that was his life. And we know him to be a man who is pretty brash, quite outspoken, and a strong man, yeah, having to learn how to fish. And then we heard about the miracle that Jesus said, put down your nets for a catch. And then he did so. And the Bible tells us that when the nets were put down, they caught so much fish that the boats began to sink. Can you imagine? A fisherman probably hasn't seen so much fish in his life. And what was his immediate response? Immediate response was he knelt before Jesus and said, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. He must have known that there was someone special in his boat. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. I got a new assignment for you, and you're going to become a fisher of men. You know, when God calls us, very often we will feel very inadequate, and we will say, I can't. And I think of many other Bible characters. You remember the story of Moses, and how when God says, take my people out from Egypt into the promised land, what was Moses' response? He says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I have never been eloquent. I am slow of speech and tongue. Right? Some of us say, I'm not a good speaker. I cannot talk. All about the story of Gideon, right? When God chose him to be one of the judges to rescue Israel, he says, Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family. I'm just a small fry. I got nothing. I'm weak. But then later he saw how God used him to bring victory in Egypt. Or we think of Jeremiah. When God chose Jeremiah to be a prophet, Jeremiah responded, says, ah, sovereign Lord, I do not know how to speak. I'm only a child. But later on, God used Jeremiah in many ways as his spokesman and prophet. You know, when God calls many of us to serve him, we will often say, I am not able. I'm not capable. But even Paul, he himself says, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. So God uses weak people. God uses broken people. God uses incapable people. And that's when he shows his power and his strength. Secondly, we want to think about the boat. And Jesus wanted to get into the boat of Peter's life. In verse 3, we read, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Yeah, so Jesus wanted to get into the boat of Peter's life. And then Jesus later challenged him to put down his nets for a catch. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus taught that morning in the boat, but we know that Peter saw a miracle. And the boat, to me, represents Peter's life. Yeah, his whole life was around the boat, because he used the boat to go sailing, he used the boat to go fishing, he used the boat to go from point to point. And here Jesus says, I want to get into the boat of your life. And actually, I find that on the boat, Peter learned many life lessons and many spiritual lessons. You remember there was a day when Jesus was in the boat, and then they were sailing to the other side of the lake, and Jesus was sleeping. And then suddenly a storm came up, and the disciples were afraid. And they woke Jesus up and said, "Lord, we are going to drown." And what did Jesus do? He just said, "Peace, be still." And then the storm came down. And the disciples terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." So Peter, in his boat, saw the power of Jesus. Or you remember the story when Peter one day was in the boat, and then Jesus walked on water. And then they thought Jesus was a ghost. And then Peter said, "If it is you, Lord, bid me come to the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And so Peter walked on water. But later, we know the story, he saw the waves, and then he was afraid, and he began to sink. And then Jesus reached out to him, because he says, "Lord, save me." And Peter's response was, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So the boat taught him many lessons. And after 3.5 years with Jesus as a disciple, Jesus died, was crucified. And what did Peter say? "I'm going fishing," right? Recorded for us in John 21. "I'm going fishing. I think I've been disappointed, and all my hope is gone. My master has died." And so the other disciples said, "Yeah, we will go with you." And so they went out fishing. And what was the story? The same story. He caught no fish. And then Jesus was there by the beach, and he asked them, "Hey guys, have you got any fish?" And they said, "No." And then what did Jesus say? "Put out your nets again for a catch." And then they caught 153 fish. And the next thing they know is Jesus makes breakfast for them. And at that place there, Jesus asked Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me much more than this?" And he asked him that question 3 times. Having experienced Jesus, having that life experience in the boat, Peter had his ups and downs. He saw victory, he saw miracles, he saw people turn into the kingdom of God, but yet in his own life, he realized that, yeah, I've denied Christ, I've been a failure, I've disappointed my master. But here we see how gentle Jesus is with him. Jesus gives him fish to eat, Jesus gives him a good catch, and then Jesus brings him back to the point 3 years ago when he says, "Come, follow me." And that's when Jesus says, "Yeah, follow me." And Peter probably this time made a drastic change, and he knew the risen Savior. So I learned that Jesus is so gentle with us. Sometimes we say, "Yes, Lord, I will serve you," or "Yes, Lord, this and that," but we find that we fail. But God doesn't give up on us. He's in that business of wanting to transform and to make us into people like himself. Finally, the net. The story says that that morning, Peter was sitting by the beach washing his empty nets. He had a disappointing night. He caught nothing. And then Jesus comes to him and says, "Yeah, I want to get in your boat." And then Jesus says to him, "Put your nets out into the deep and let them down for a catch." The first response Peter gave was, "Lord, we have toiled all night long and have caught nothing." If you were Simon Peter that morning in the boat, and if Jesus says to you, "Hey, drop down your nets for a catch," I'd like you to imagine, what will you say to Jesus if he were to tell you that? If it was me, I'll probably say, yeah, I just finished washing my nets. You want me to drop it and then wash again? I'll probably say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you are a professional carpenter. I'm a professional fisherman. Let me teach you about fishing. I'll say, Jesus, fish don't come out in the day. They come out in the night. Don't waste time. We have all sorts of reasons and excuses to give to Jesus. But his response to Jesus was, Master, because you say so, I will let down the nets. Yeah, because you say so, I will let down the nets. And as we have read, he caught so much fish that the nets began to sink. He never saw such a big catch in his life. And Jesus says to him, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. I wonder what you and I are trying to catch with the nets of our life. Peter was trying to catch fish, and Jesus was saying, I got a bigger job for you. You go catch men. And where I come from in Malaysia or Singapore, when I was younger, you know what young people often want to catch? They want to catch the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. One wife, two kids, 3-bedroom house, 4-wheel car, 5-figure salary. Or we want to catch the 5 C's. Cash, credit card, condominium, car, country club. Okay, and then if you get all these 5 things, you are ta'er. Yeah, you're good. I don't know what you are trying to catch in the nets of your life. But here in the story of Peter, Jesus was trying to say, I want you to have a different ambition and different priority. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And do we realize that God has given each one of us gifts and talents, and he wants us to use that for his kingdom's sake? So in closing, the fisherman. I learned that God uses broken people for his work. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be capable, but you just have to be available. Broken, but God can use our brokenness to reflect his power. The boat, Jesus wants to come into the boat of our lives. And when he comes in, then he wants to bring a transforming work in our lives to allow us to become a little more like him, to grow in our person, to become more like Jesus. And the net, he wants us to use the net of our lives to rearrange our priorities. There's nothing wrong with having material things, but if material things are all that we seek, then God perhaps may want to challenge us to say, can you use your gifts, use your nets for his kingdom's sake? And very often we will find it hard to understand, but can we respond like what Peter did, saying that, I don't understand, but nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for the story of Peter and how Jesus, you met him where he was by the beach, washing his nets, disappointed and empty. But thank you, Lord, that in our emptiness, you can come in into the boat of our lives, and you can fill our emptiness, and you can give us a new mission, a mission to follow after you, a mission to do your will. May you help us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.